The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by John Budden, to look ahead to the best of the action on Monday. Action from Exeter and Bangor on Monday, as well as Wolverhampton. But Exeter and Bangor subject to inspections, precautionary or otherwise. So we're going to focus on Wolverhampton, focus on some action that we know will be going ahead. So we've got three races to look forward to then. We're also going to have a brief look back at Saturday's racing because... Well, it was rather good, wasn't it, John?
It was very good. Mm. Very good and very interesting indeed, Alex. I mean, Sprinter Sacre, you know, obviously a matter of extreme focus. And the new 1-2 at Haydock.
We'll start with Sprinter Sacre then. Second in the Clarence House Chase. I feel a little bit sorry for Dodging Bullets, who, well, won the race... Has now won two big races in a row and still isn't really getting any credit. Granted, yesterday wasn't really about him. It was about Sprinter Sacre. But do you not feel a little bit sorry for Connections and for the horse itself?
Yes, well, a quick word about Dodging Bullets. As you say, it's done absolutely everything right in the last three outings. Was a close third at Cheltenham when obviously needing the race. Just beaten by my old friend Simply Ned, incidentally. but then won the Tingle Creek extremely well. And yesterday defeated Sprinter Sacre quite clearly on merit. Jumping splendidly, coping with the ground and going away at the end of his race. Two things about Dodging Bullet, apart from his obvious excellent form. One is that, as I've said several times in the studio before, he's never actually won after the turn of the year. Mm. Well, he's put that right in a very, very dramatic and excellent way. And the second thing is that Dodging Bullets, in my view, was given a marvellous ride by Noel Feely. He did everything right. He's tremendous jockey, Feely, at putting a horse at a fence, which he gave par excellence at Ascot yesterday. And thirdly, quite an important point if you're supporting Dodging Bullets, KP, Ken Peterson, said in the paddock before the race that he had never seen Dodging Bullets look so relaxed. Mm. And he ran in a relaxed fashion too. So, yes, you're right. Dodging Bullets was a worthy winner.
Okay. As for Sprinter Sacre, do we think that... There's sort of two arguments. One is that it was an encouraging comeback run that he can build on. And there's another one that would say, well, if he was anywhere near his best, he'd be beating horses like Dodging Bullets, you know, in a canter. Which sort of school of thought are you in there? Was it a promising comeback as far as you're concerned? Or would... Because personally, I would not... I couldn't back Sprinter Sacre now until I see a bit more. I know that Geraghty didn't give him a slap. You know, he was very kind to him. But... Do you want to be backing a horse that, you know, is clearly still, if not recovering, sort of rehabilitating a little bit from his sort of injuries and illness worries?
Absolutely, Alex. I do sit on the fence slightly here because I think you hit on the point very closely in the last couple of sentences there. This was a horse who was obviously not going to be given too hard a race in the closing stages on ground that was pretty testing, first time back for a year. On the other hand, one feels that there had been a great deal of effort made to ensure that the horse was in pretty good Nick for the first return. And again, going back to KP, he said, in his view, that Sprinter Sacre looked really ready for the race. So we come to the conclusion, and I am a bit with you, I don't think that he showed himself really special at Ascot yesterday. He ran an encouraging race. Obviously, he is sound again, and he should improve a bit on that performance. But it wasn't, to me, a Sprinter Sacre of the old enormity and special, really superstar activity. I may be wrong, but I just felt a little bit like that. The one good thing is that it has thrown the champion chase wide open. I mean, he's going to start, assuming the Sprinter Sacre gets there, a warmish favourite, but by no means an outstanding favourite. And horses like Dodging Bullets, even Simply Dead at 25-1, and others have got a really decent chance. So in many ways, it was a very encouraging return and has done a great deal for the competition at the festival.
No, that's fair. Sprinter Sacre, the 5-2 favourite for the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Cider Grugy, 9-2. 5 for Dodging Bullets, 8 for Champagne Fever, 9's Alpha Roth, and then 16 for Don Cossack and Uke Six Sandra, 20's Boulder Success, 25's for Hidden Cyclone, Simply Ned, Special Tiara and Twin Light, and 33's or bigger the rest. It does blow it wide open because, I couldn't back Sprinter Sacre, you know, off the back of that performance. I've never really been a massive Cider Grugy fan. For all that Dodging Bullets ran well yesterday, I'm not a huge fan of him. And all of a sudden then, you're looking at double-figure prices pretty much for the rest of them. And like you said, there is some really good each-way value to be had.
Well, that's why I've had an anti-post bet for Cheltenham, which I've never had in the past, really. I've had a little each way, £10 each way on Simply Ned. And when you bear in mind that Simply Ned actually finished in front of Dodging Bullets at Cheltenham when they last met, 5-1 Dodging Bullets, 25-1 Simply Ned. And I know that they do think a lot of Simply Ned. And he's been in the Grade One company in Ireland last time, not disgraced. So there's a tremendous disparity. Look for value is what I would say.
And of course, Simply Ned likely to be ridden by Brian Harding, who's had a fantastic season, isn't he, John?
Oh yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Brian Harding, because he rode a tremendous race to win the Peter Marsh on Samstown yesterday, just got Alistair Willans' horse home when challenged in the from the final fence. But that was his 40th winner of the season. He's never ridden more than 39 winners in a single season in the past. And when you consider he's either 42 or 43, it's a relatively tremendous performance, and he is riding better now than I've ever seen him ride in the past.
I think that's very fair. As for the new one, the other superstar, if you like, that ran on Saturday, got the job done in the Champion Hurdle trial at Haydock. 6-1 on he returned. Bertie Mont back in second at 8s and Strong Point third at 16-1. In the end, won by 2.25 lengths, but looked unlikely for much of the home straight. Again, is that one that you're willing to forgive, if you like? Because blatantly the new one hated the ground. Another horse where, you know, that clearly wasn't his aim for the season. You know, Santriston Davies was almost at pains to not draw the whip at any stage. And in the end, when he did, the new one did pick up and go past Bertie Mont. But it certainly wasn't the way that you'd like to see a 1-6 shot winning, or indeed a leading Champion Hurdle contender.
No, it was an interesting choice of venue in a way by the Tristan Davis camp to begin with. I know it was a valuable race and it has been won by a number of really good horses in the past, but they must have been aware that the ground was going to be really thoroughly bad, testing mud, you know, and it was a tremendous trial for the new one, who clearly was not acting really in the ground, certainly not in his hurdling mode. His technique jumping the hurdles, if you know, take the ground not into consideration, was pretty grim. I mean, the commentator correctly was alluding to the fact that the new one was making mistakes all the way down the back straight and not hurdling fluently. He clearly couldn't pick up out of the ground. So in the circumstances, you have to say it was a remarkable performance from the last flight, because he looked beaten to me, Alex.
He did, and he looked tired. It wasn't the fact that he just was sort of labouring a little bit. He looked tired, and then all of a sudden got a crack with the whip and flew home.
Yeah.
Which suggests he may still have you know, the spark there, and he may have the ability still there. But again, it was another one where, off the back of that, would you want to go and back a horse to win at Cheltenham? As far as I'm concerned, the two main protagonists that everyone was getting excited about in Sprinter Sacra, the new one, I don't think either of them really lived up to the hype that was surrounding them.
Oh, certainly not. The only thing I would say, and I repeat about the new one, was that he did show tremendous quality in making up that ground on the run in at Haydock in really testing conditions, and he won quite cozily in the end. You would have to forgive some of the hurdling mistakes, but at the back of your mind is the fact that this is a horse who has lost races in the past at the highest level because his hurdling technique has been unsound. Now, he was much better earlier this season, but yesterday's run does open those question marks again.
Absolutely. Right then, we'll move on to some of Monday's action then, John. As I said, we're going to focus on Wolverhampton because it's the only meeting that we know is definitely going to go ahead. Well, I say that, but fingers crossed it will anyway. We are on the all weather. 5 furlongs is the trip for the first race that we're going to look at. It's the opener. It's the 110, a Class 5 event with 13 runners down to go to post. And there's some fairly informed types arriving here, John. A few have clashed recently. The likes of Arctic Lynx arrives here a winner. Shawk and Tango was behind that one at Southall when we last saw it. But like I said, there are quite a few who arrive here off the back of, if not a win, a pretty solid performance.
Yeah, I think a great pace in this race, which always fascinates me, Alex. I love this kind of contest. As you say, Arctic Lynx has definitely got a chance, in very good form at the moment. Conor Doyle's team in very good form. Hayley Turner also, in my view, riding well. Surprising amount of critics, I think, for Hayley Turner. Then we've got Pearl Noir, who's been knocking at the door. Lexington Rose is in this race, I think, with a definite chance. Brian Smart trains, and Paul Mulrennan in the saddle. I thought the horse ran perfectly respectably when fourth at Lingfield last time out. But I've narrowed it down to two old favourites, and they are Shaw Cantango and You're Gifted. Shaw Cantango, in my view, has been threatening to win a similar race to this for really quite a significant period of time. Derek Shaw trains. Paddy Mathers in the saddle. A slightly unusual booking for Derek Shaw. This horse perhaps has shown his best form at Southall, so I'm going to pass him over in the end in an old friend. I have to go for You're Gifted. Alistair Rawlinson back in the saddle, taking off a value £2 or £3. He has, Ali Rawlinson, ridden You're Gifted better than any jockey who has been attached or booked to the mare in my memory. And You're Gifted has is something of a Wolverhampton specialist. Isn't drawn particularly well, but loves to come swinging round the outside with a late run. So I'm going to give You're Gifted the choice over Shaw Cantango.
Okay, You're Gifted the pick in the 110. The 140 is the next race that we're going to look at. It is a handicap over almost a mile and 6 furlongs. A Class 5 event, 9 runners don't go to post. And the logical place to start here, John, is with the horse that's in the best form. That's Archie Peligo for Ian Jardine and David Nolan. A horse that's now won 2 in a row and, well, he'll be looking to make it 3 here. And given the manner of his success here last time, he'd have to go close.
Yes, he's got to go close. Just 2 others mentioned before going to Archipelago. It clears that Celestial Bay has got a reasonable chance. Consistent horse, second before Christmas, and a really quite decent third at Kempton behind Pivot Man last time out. Has definitely got a squeak. So is Bushel. Bushel, trained by James Given, was a relatively sound second, I thought, last time out, running on quite strongly. But the winner, Craig Hall, lad, was beaten at Lingfield on Saturday. So the form horse is Archipelago, and there are all kinds of reasons for supporting this horse. One, showed useful form at Lady Cecil originally, ran very decently in a maiden over 6.5 furlongs at Pontefract, and now is with Ian Jardine. Now, Ian trains at Bonchester Bridge, not far from Hoyk, right up in the borders of Scotland, and when he has his horses in form, he tends to bring them out quickly. quickly and they are likely to defy penalties. Now, I thought Archipelago won really well against Oratorio's Joy last time out. Here, over a course and distance at Wolverhampton, travels down the M6 again to Wolverhampton, must have a great chance. Archipelago to defy a penalty.
OK, the final race that we're going to look at is the 440 from Wolverhampton. It's a handicap over 1 mile, 1.5 furlongs, class 5 event with 13 runners down to go to post. Once again, John, plenty of these are arriving in really, really good heart. Where should we start with this one?
Well, we might start with the impossible to pronounce, spelled B-A-R-Y-E.
I think it's Barry.
Barry.
Think, but don't hold me that, John.
Well, I thought it couldn't quite be Barry, so it'd have to be Barry. Mm. David Simcox trains 115 days since last run, but the Simcox yard are very good at getting horses out fresh and ready to win. And it was a perfectly good second last time out when we saw the horse to surprise. Got to have a squeak. I'm not that keen on Gabriel the Terror, but Richard Farr, his team, in pretty good shape on the all-weather at the moment. I love Breakheart. Andrew Boulding uses this horse to educate his young apprentices. And my goodness, what a good job both Andrew Boulding and Breakheart have done. And it is Rob Hornby, who is now the young man being taught the ropes by the Boulding team. And Breakheart ran very well at Lingfield last time out. Good second to Luna Deity, and Luna Deity was a good winner yesterday at Lingfield. The selection, though, is the Gay Cavalier. I thought that the Ryan stable are in very good form, John Ryan. Adam Kirby could hardly be riding better. This horse is in pretty good form. It was second two outings ago in decent company compared to this contest. Winner last time out, beating Bobby Benton. Adam Kirby retains the ride. The Gay Cavalier looks as though he's got a very good chance of making it two in a row.
OK, the Gay Cavalier, the pick then, in the 440. Can you just spin us through your picks then, John, at Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon?
Yeah, and the 110, a fascinating 5 furlong dash. I'm just going for Your Gifted to beat Chalk and Tango. In the 140, the choice has to be the Scottish Raider Archipelago, and in the 440, we're going for the Gay Cavalier.
Fantastic, John. Best of luck with all those picks on Monday, and enjoy all of the racing.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.